8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Engineering Committee will meet on the first Wednesday at 7 p.m.
This News and Public Affairs Day is dedicated to the memory of Dave Mazza, a longtime KBOO volunteer who passed away this week. Thanks for everything, Dave.
This is KBOO Portland. The time now is 8 o'clock. Time for Positively Revolting.
What would you have instead?
This is it.
Good morning, good morning. You are listening to Positively Revolting on your community radio station, KBOO. I'm Ani, and this is the very beginning of KBOO's semi-annual News and Public Affairs Day. It's a day that we dedicate to focusing on current events, news, analysis, and information for about 13 hours. And I am also, I just want to say today also is a special day dedicated to Dave Mazza. And his legacy, Dave Mazza, was a program host here for many years on Thursday mornings, co-hosting Voices from the Edge. He was also the editor of the Portland Alliance. He passed away earlier this week after a long struggle with cancer. He has left so much goodness in his wake, and we dedicate this day to Dave. So this morning, in that spirit of fighting fiercely for social justice, I am really excited to be talking with two local authors about one of the most important and misunderstood topics of today, and that's fascism. Alexander Reed Ross is a lecturer at PSU and author of Against Fascist Creep. And Shane Burley is the author of Fascism Today, What It Is and How to End It. Thank you both so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Fantastic. I want to start out with some definitions. I think that fascism is used in all manner of ways that are not accurate. They cloud what fascism really is and the dangers that it possesses. I know that for myself, being involved in committee work in the 90s and organizing work, I would often hear folks say, in times of disagreement in those collectives, the person that is telling you, no, that's not a good idea, we can't go that direction, suddenly, somebody's pounding on the table and yelling, yeah, you fascist, you're not going to get in my way, right? In much the same way, in, I think it was 2000, myself and three comrades were dressed as pileated woodpeckers and attempting to play crossing guards during a large May Day demonstration downtown. Our point was to try to get folks who were taking the street not ran over by the MAX train, which has a hard time stopping on short notice. And we were, at that moment, called fascists by a bunch of the folks that wanted to just sort of be there. We were like, all right, sit on the MAX tracks. We tried. Both of these situations, at the time just felt weird. And now, some years on, I look back at them and I think, yeah, we really have, on the left, very little analysis of what fascism truly is. We get this sort of knee-jerk response that fascism is somebody just telling us we can't. And that's not it. So let's go ahead, Shane, your book, Fascism Today, What It Is and How to End It. Do you want to go ahead and just start with the definition of what fascism is?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's pretty common on the left to basically use fascism as a proxy for all bad things. Neoliberalism, capitalism, imperialism, whatever it is. But it's really distinct. It's a distinct movement. It's separate from some of those things that maybe even intertwined. The way I define it in the book is basically along two tent poles. So on the one hand, it's really about this belief in inequality, that we have to stratify society, that society is best run when it's hierarchical, and that human beings are unequal fundamentally, maybe biologically, maybe spiritually, depending on how it's framed. And then the other side is a form of tribalism and nationalism. I call it essential identity in there. So that identity, it's not one we choose, but it chooses us. You know, race, gender, sexual orientation, these are defining things about us. When you put those two things together, that real essentialized category and the sense of inequality, that's where you really have fascist movements, especially in kind of a modern context, something that started in the 20th century in the era of mass politics and the ability to divide people up and to create those stratifications. That's, you know, fundamentally different than like the tyranny of the state or police and things like that. And that doesn't give any of those things a pass, but it is distinct in a way. And it also comes from, frankly, a mass participation of working class people. It can't exist without people accepting it to a degree. And that's why you see a lot of ground up fascist movements. It's not just coming from the top, but it's actually people making that choice that the revolutionary need they're feeling is going to be manifested in that way.
And in that way, we know that a lot of folks think, well, fascism, a thing of the past. We fought that already. Mm-hmm. And we know the saying that, you know, when fascism comes to America, it'll be wrapped in the flag and carrying the cross. What does fascism actually look like today? How is it disguised? How is it operating? I know that's like the huge question, right? But in today, in America, we know that there are fascist movements. What is that looking like?
I mean, we're at a real interesting crossroads right now. A lot of the alt-right, and Shane's written about this a lot, has declared basically that they've failed, and Antifa has basically won. So, you know, there's been a sense of victory, you know, on the left, that we've defeated the alt-right, and so looking around, where is fascism? You know, maybe we've beaten it, but I think that kind of triumphalism is misplaced. And, you know, American society has some really deep-rooted problems from which this fascist creep emerges. And if we don't confront those, then we're actually not doing the work we need to be doing. And when movements tend to flame out, they also have violent ends. So what we're seeing now with the bombings in Austin, the plans for bombing in Minnesota, and shootings, mass shootings, and all of these kinds of things, the incels and stuff. It's not necessarily the last gasp of the alt-right. It's maybe a new fascist hybrid of extreme ultra-violence that is just starting out. So we could be witnessing the rise of a much more deadly and dangerous insurgent fascism here in the United States.
You mentioned the alt-right, and what, you know, we just thinking back to the horrific events of last August in Charlottesville, we heard, oh, you know, there was this confrontation. Sure, this alt-right gathering happened, but then there were all these people that just added to the tension because they went there to confront the alt-right. Right, and there seems to be a lot of conflating of what fascism is and what anti-fascism is. So I know there are probably three questions in there. So let's actually first of all start talking about the connection between the alt-right and fascism.
Yeah, I mean, the alt-right is fascism. There shouldn't be made a distinction. There's been a lot of discussion, and I think it was in a lot of ways the mainstream press trying to make sense of something that had such mass appeal very quickly by calling it kind of a diet fascism, or maybe it's on its way to fascism, and not hearing what they're saying, which was just blueprinted fascism of decades earlier, repackaged in new languages, but all the ideas were the same. In fact, all the main publications and figures were the same of white nationalist groups in the 90s and early 2000s, so there was no distinction about it. And so when they were able to rise, they just were effectively the most powerful and effective portion of the white nationalist movement. So, I mean, that is what the white nationalist movement is today, is the alt-right. Now, there's still the old school groups. You still have some of the Klan and neo-Nazis, but they are pretty marginal in comparison because they never rebranded themselves, never added strategy, never got new thinkers, no new books were out, and the alt-right did all that work. And so they are the brand of the future. And they're not in any way a diet fascism. They are what the fascist movement in the U.S. is today.
Yeah.
Anything to add, Alexander?
Well, it's also interesting if you trace back their lineage, trace back the lineage of Richard Spencer. You know, they're not necessarily coming out of the National Socialist Movement or Aryan Nations. They're actually coming out of the paleoconservative sort of American breadbasket, like Pat Buchanan type American conservative magazine and Tacky's Mag and this kind of far right that's never really been confronted in a major way in U.S. society because of how powerful it is, maybe, and the capacity that they have to, you know, disperse accusations of white nationalism in political policy and the language of insurgency.
Yeah, I think it also adds to the fact that a lot of liberal left, maybe journalists, NGOs, other things, are kind of unwilling to accept the fact that some fascists are smart, good-looking, well-dressed, and well-argued. The idea of them as maybe poor Southerners, using white trash stereotypes, they love that. And they would love to make white supremacy the same thing as white and poor. And the reality is that these new movements are affluent to some degree. They have think tanks, they have books, they have high travel websites, they have art in some cases. And that just doesn't look familiar. And so that's, I think, to a large degree, why they didn't see this coming, even though there's 20, 30 years that precipitated it.
Absolutely. And so when we get to a flashpoint, as we have certainly over those last couple of years, as we see alt-right speakers going to campuses, and we see people who are not down with this ultra-nationalist, white supremacist, severe stratification, confronting these folks on campuses, mm-hmm. we are hearing loud criticisms of those that go to confront. Because, mm-hmm. gosh, doesn't everyone have the right to just sort of promulgate their ideals? What's the response to that? And, you know, let's start with, again, Shane, as you write, what is fascism, how to end it? It seems like confronting it where it may stand is one of the most effective strategies. Like, do not allow these groups to recruit, grow, and flourish, right?
Yeah. There's in some kind of liberal left circles, there's a kind of stand down attitude. If we don't confront them, they don't get attention, they don't grow. But that's just a fundamental misread of how they function and how they've actually recruited people.
And how history works.
Right, right. They recruit people by successfully organizing, by having platforms, by being able to communicate ideas and reach out to a certain subset of people who will join. The most effective way to counter that is to stop that from happening. I mean, and this is not ideological. This is not like an opinion of mine. This is just empirical reality. And so, for example, there's a slew of recent kind of output from the alt-right about having to pull back from public events. They're not going to hold public conferences anymore, at least the major institutions. They're going to kind of be more inwardly focused. The reason? Because anti-fascist groups won't let them happen. You know, like they're not at the recent event where Richard Spencer was supposed to speak at Michigan State. They really only got about 20, 30 people in the audience. This was a major event for them. It couldn't happen. It was just too chaotic. Their people were getting arrested. And what it does is it peels back the layer of people who maybe side with Richard Spencer, but they're not going to join a movement that's going to destroy their life because there's so many people out there willing to do it. And so when you're seeing thousands of people come out to stop them, they really can't hold their events. They can't function out in the open. They can't grow their movement. They can't build media platforms. It becomes actually impossible. And on the flip side, it becomes really mobilizing for the community because they're able to come together, meet other people that feel the same way and take action against it. And that's a really empowering thing.
All right, and we are going to actually invite Teresa into this conversation. Teresa is there in Studio One. We also call it the Palace of Pledge. And we're going to take a moment right now to ask you, dear listeners, to please call 877-500-5266 And jump on in. Support KABU, your independent community media resource. We are here this morning. I'm Ani. I am talking with Alexander Reed Ross and Shane Burley about fascism, defining it, stopping it, watching out for it, and dealing with it in effective ways. We'll be getting to those in a moment. But first, Teresa, where are you?
Well, you there? Membership drive, and I'd like to let everyone know that this is News and Public Affairs Day. We have a $3,000 match from an anonymous and generous donor. This is for a new and increasing donor. In other words, when you call in right now, when you become a new member of KBOO, or if you increase your monthly donation, then your dollar per dollar will be matched up to 3,000 American dollars, thanks to amazing KABU members who donated towards this matching fund to encourage you to join. And that is in effect right now. This is happening. So you can call 877-500-5266 and talk to us about these books, which I'll give you some information about in just a second. But wait, there's more. Every person who becomes a member now will be entered to win a prize. Today's drawing is for two buddy passes to the Waterfront Blues Festival. Call 877-500-5266 now to be entered for a chance to win. Go to kboo.fm for all the rules and details and all the prizes, and no, you don't have to give us money to enter the contest. Well, the book blurb says, "Fascists are creeps. Time to drag them from the shadows." That's for Against the Fascist Creep by Alexander Reed Ross. Fascism Today by Shane Burley looks at the changing world of the far right and Donald Trump's America. Now, for $10 a month, you could get both books. Think about that. That is going to be money well spent. That's money that will make you a member of KBOO and make you feel good about that, make you feel as if you are participating in the station, which you will be. You'll be able to vote. And you will have these two books. So let me give you that number again, because I'm sure you want to call in and spend 3 minutes on the phone with us and go for the $10 and get, if you want, you can give us $5 and get one of the books. But $10 is what I suggest. $10 a month. You can do that if you have a job. If you have a bank account, call us, 877-500-5266, 877-500-5266. Again, 877-500-5266. Now, I know a lot of listeners in these, since it's 40 years post-Reagan, and we have absolutely screwed the proletariat and created a lumpen proletariat in this country, that there are a lot of people who can't even afford that. You know what? Don't feel bad about that. We're here for you. We want to change conditions. We want to make a society in which every single member would be able to have that option for this little bit of this little gesture, this little monetary gesture for your edification, education, and pleasure. I want everyone to be able to do that. But since you are getting by and you have a job and you understand and you want to understand more, it's a great idea to call us at 877-500-5266, 877-500-KABU, 877-toll-free, 500, easy to remember, 5266, 877-500-5266 right now, and get both these books, Against the Fascist Creep and Fascism Today, What It Is and How to End It. These books are respectively by Alexander Reed Ross and Shane Burley, who are in the studio right now talking to Ani and telling you what these books are about. I think you'll be glad to have your copies in hand. Once again, this is News and Public Affairs Day, and so when you're getting your books, you'll be getting your money matched. You'll be doubling your efforts to support KBOO by calling right this moment, and you will be entered into a drawing for a prize. You'll be entered into a drawing for two buddy passes to the Waterfront Blues Festival, and even if you are not the type to go to the Waterfront Blues Festival, just think, you know somebody who will be absolutely thrilled to get those tickets, and you have a very good chance of getting them, because it's only for today. We change the drawing every day. We have these fabulous prizes every day, and so you have a good, just in terms of statistics, you have a good chance of actually getting your hands on those two tickets. Once again, the number to call, 877-500-5266, 877-500-5266. Are you there, Ani? She's not. All right, 877-500-5266. The book is Against the Fascist Creep. Fascists are creeps. Time to drag them from the shadows. As the election of Donald Trump shows, fascism in all its white nationalist and alt-right permutations is alive and well in the United States. You know, speaking as a transgender person, I've definitely felt the heat. I see the looks that I'm now getting. People are feeling empowered.
And I think that these times it's important that shows like Positively Revolting, Teresa, air these views, bring authors like Alex, like Shane on the air to enlighten and encourage our listeners to participate in the discussion and become more evolved as humans. Understand that it's a changing world, that we need to grow constantly, otherwise we're just stagnating. And shows like Positively Revolting allow our listeners to understand the direction that society's going when it's moving in a good direction.
It's strange to think that it works at one level as intimidation. Certainly intimidation is the brand of fascists, and so they need groups, they need target groups, people of color, Hispanics, Muslims, transgender. They need to put their base together by creating target populations that they can then oppress. So it's a pretty creepy situation. Standing against that is KBOO, and so this is why it is the moral thing, the correct thing for you to become a member and for you to have both of these books, which you can get by calling us at 877-500-5266. As I was saying, when you give us $10 a month, you'll get both these books. Your funds, which come out to $120 a year, even though it's at a painless $10 a month, your funds will be matched. And so we'll make the goal that much more quickly, matched up to $3,000 thanks to a generous and anonymous donor. And you'll be entered into the prize drawing to win two buddy passes to the Waterfront Blues Festival coming up this summer, as it comes up every summer. This is KBOO Portland. This is the time to join, and you are the person who understands, so it's up to you. Call right now, 877-500-5266.
Thank you so much, Teresa. It is true, the time is now. Please take the action that does empower your entire community by calling 877-500-5266 and becoming a member of KBOO today. Get your money matched. It's a sort of a double contribution. It's a beautiful thing, and that support all goes into People Powered Media, KBOO. So I want to also give out the phone number for our studio if you would like to join in this conversation this morning. That number is 503-231-8187. Khalil has already done that, so we're going to go ahead and take Khalil's call now. Good morning, Khalil. You're on the air. Perhaps Khalil, maybe?
I'm glad you're there?
Yes, there you are.
Okay, I'm glad that you guys brought up this subject, because like it's been going on, and it showed a good sign during the last election. It wasn't the major cities that a lot of people lost to. It was to those places that be hiding that you don't know about. And this administration has really showed its true color about how it is toward the people and stuff like that. But it's going on, like, they're in every part of our life now, everyday life, people that you would least expect to be doing what they're doing about, trying to have this done, that done, like the way the Trump administration is going, But yeah. I'm glad you guys brought this subject up. This is a very good subject to talk about.
Thanks very much for your call this morning, Khalil.
All right. You take care.
We appreciate you. 503-231-8187, that number to call to join us on the air. And Khalil brings up a good point. This has been going on for a while. It's good that we are recognizing it and discussing it more openly. It reminds me, the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, just around the time of the 2016 election in this country, put out a statement saying that he was really troubled, I'm understating that, by the rapid rise of far-right nationalist groups around the world over the last several years, couple of years. It was what do you think is causing this uptick globally? I mean, you write about this in terms of looking at UKIP, looking at the different parties throughout Europe. Why is there suddenly this sort of global resurgence?
Well, I would trace it back to the financial crisis of 2008. I think that really Fascism weaponizes class analysis with ultranationalist hierarchies in place. And so you had a lot of disenfranchised people after the financial crisis throughout the North Atlantic who are looking for scapegoats and who are angry and who are upset about the ruling class. And so they're coming out, and fascists are coming out of the woodwork and saying, well, it's the Jews, right? It's the Zionists, the Zionist Rothschild Soros conspiracy and all of that kind of stuff. And they're bringing people along with them. And that's really why you start seeing, you know, fascists adopting black bloc tactics, fascists, you know, cribbing from left-wing culture. That's always kind of how it's been, and they've really been given a whole lot of energy through the economic troubles.
You write about the autonomous fascists that really do look a whole lot like black bloc organizing. Can you talk a little bit more about that and how the new sort of populist movements are, as you say, cribbing from the left?
Yeah, the national autonomists or autonomous nationalists.
Yes, yes.
Really kind of emerged in the 90s at first and got more momentum in the 2000s in relation to the Autonomen movement in Germany and basically anti-fascist action groups that were adopting the black bloc tactics in order to prevent themselves from being identified by the state and by fascists. And so they created anti-fascist action and started, you know, adopting the black bloc tactics and, you know, showing up at May Days and May Day marches, you know, labor marches, and, you know, having breakaway groups that would then fight it out with the police. And they spread throughout Central Europe, the Czech Republic, and even into Ukraine. And so when there was that the Maidan protests in Ukraine, you had these black bloc, you know, anarchist-looking nationalists who were marching through the streets with flares. And it kind of sparked the imaginations of left-wingers who were sort of burned out on Occupy and maybe thought there should have been some more, you know, violence in the movement or authoritarianism or whatever. And, you know, it was this crazy thing when it came out. No, actually, these aren't anarchists who are fighting the police in Ukraine. These are actually, you know, nationalists who are appropriating the legacy of both fascists like Bandera and anarchists like Makhno, you know, going back to this sort of like the heroes of the mythical steppes, you know, and the kind of like palingenetic, you know, rebirth of the archetypal new man from the historical myths of heroic, you know, acts and pursuits. And that's what's really wild about fascism is its synthesis even of a revolutionary kind of left-wing tendencies and ultra-nationalist, you know, the true right, or what is it called, Shane? I think it's...
Yeah, the true right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think we also can't underestimate the what happens when the implicit white supremacy of Europe and the U.S. kind of confront with demographic change and stuff. So in Europe, there's a big response to what's being, you know, quote unquote, called the refugee crisis. But really, we're just talking about immigration here and the dramatic thing that happens when, like, basically instituted white supremacy clashes with just a change in what the community looks like.
Yeah.
And that creating a sense of crisis in and of itself. And so it does, I think, come back to something we talked about earlier, is that really the roots of these movements are always there because they're kind of baked into a, what they call Western civilization, basically Western states and capitalism.
And there's a definite xenophobia involved. And I've watched the whole, the fear of the refugee crisis, of the horrendously racist videos that were put out on YouTube warning, you know, don't let this happen to the U.S. Look what's happened to Europe, you know, and just the most, again, racist images. And I watched friends who are well-thinking, you know, people who are very concerned about social justice and other things, actually watch mm-hmm. these and go, whoa, that's something bad is happening. I mean, people could come here and make us do other things, be other ways, and take over, and suddenly we won't have any rights. And I'm floored. And so this brings me to the question of that recruitment and outreach effort, and how, in fact, that co-optation of the exploitation of xenophobia, the co-optation of left tactics, really do synergize to dupe good thinking, well-intended people into being swept along in this sort of hysteria or yeah.
Yeah, I hear this too on the left, and I really do think it's deadly for the left to start blaming refugees for the rise of the far right. It's not refugees' fault that the far right mm-hmm. is using this as a talking point.
Yeah.
The same people who are explicitly against equality are standing up and saying, these refugees are going to take away our mm-hmm. rights. Mm-hmm. Give me a break. You don't believe in those rights in the first place.
Right. Thank you.
They're opportunistically using, you know, xenophobia that they've seeded into society as an attempt to sort of reap the whirlwind. And we should stop that, you know? We should welcome all these refugees, and mm-hmm. we should appreciate changes to our society that further equality.
Sounds great. We'll just stop that one there. Let's go ahead and talk to Joe. Joe has called in. Again, the number to call in is 503-231-8187. Good morning, Joe. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Really great discussion. I wanted to ask if y'all could talk a bit about, you've already kind of mentioned the kind of overt ideology and or aims of fascists. And we hear about Holocaust denial. We see memes on the internet that talk about how, you know, Hitler wasn't the only one who killed millions of people, trying to kind of decenter, if not delegitimate, that history. And I'm wondering if you can kind of talk about the way that the alt-right and fascists are trying to kind of create a space for forgetting the history that they are trying to recreate or otherwise advance in a new way.
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's kind of two ways that people deny the Holocaust. So there's the very overt, it didn't happen. These are, you know, Zionist lies. There's a cabal that's invented this and manufactured things. And there's kind of a second one, which has a little bit more traction today, I think, of trying to say that it lacks importance and that the sense of universal importance that's placed on it is because of Jewish control over narratives. And this return to anti-Semitism is kind of perpetual. They need that. It's sort of like a founding myth. You know, their white nationalist logic doesn't play without conspiracies, and you have to have someone at the center of that. And since they want to draw on a whole history that has historically been an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory. And so with the Holocaust, especially as, like, we have very few survivors alive anymore, those conversations don't happen quite as much. And there's a culture that really wants to question all forms of history, some questioning legitimate, some illegitimate, but definitely conspiracy culture that's forming online. The Holocaust just seems like a prime target for that. And the alt-right knows that, and they've used that. And the white nationalist movement has used that for years. They've been able to recruit inside conspiracy circles by stoking that same kind of distrust of quote-unquote elites that are feeding narratives, and then create that questioning. And what's really important that is if you take away those universal stories of suffering and you take away the truths of what genocide has come and the racial kind of ideology that comes with that, those racist ideologies start to lose kind of the animus that's been collectively built. I mean, the Holocaust has told a story about the reality of fascism, and if we forget that reality, fascism becomes something else in the collective imagination.
All right, and let's go ahead and at this point, welcome Teresa back on the air. Teresa.
I'm here.
Hello, how are we doing?
We're doing pretty well. We've had people call in. I'd like to thank Stephanie for renewing from Oregon City. I'd like to thank Jean for renewing from Southeast PDX. Pauline for renewing from Forest Grove. And Edith renewing from PDX. Thank you for calling us. They spent a moment or two on the phone. They called us at 877-500-5266. And you can too, and this is News and Public Affairs Day. What a great way to kick a Nazi right in the Schaffen. $3,000 match for everything that you pledge at 877-500-5266. And I'd like to suggest you can select any of a number of things that we have, but I would like to suggest getting both of the books from both of the authors who are speaking this morning. It's kind of a double whammy, and you can reinforce everything that you're learning now by actually having the books. Fascism Today by Shane Burley. Fascism Today, What It Is and How to End It. And we have that available for a $5 per month pledge. Against the Fascist Creep by Alexander Reed Ross for a $5 a month pledge. Fascists are creeps. Time to drag them from the shadows. Fascism Today looks at the changing world of the far right in Donald Trump's America. You can have both those books. Why shouldn't you? That's a great thing to have on your bookshelves, and it's a good part of your investments in community radio. 877-500-5266. Get the books. Get your money matched. Double your money. Be efficient. And while you're doing it, there's more. You will be automatically entered to win a prize. Today's drawing is for two Buddy Passes to the Waterfront Blues Festival. Two Buddy Passes to the Waterfront Blues Festival. It's going to go to someone who joins this morning, which is pretty good at odds. There's going to be dozens of people calling today. One of them will get two Buddy Passes. Call 877-500-5266 to be entered for a chance to win, and go to kboo.fm for rules and details on all the prizes. Now let's get serious for a minute here. We do need to fight fascism. And that means that you need to support your community radio station, where you get information and attitude that allows you to actually fight back against this phenomenon in all of its forms. It's happening from the top down, and it's happening from the bottom up. We're getting people coming out of the prisons who are getting reinforced in their fascist gangs, who want to cause trouble and who are feeling empowered by the very top, by the Trump administration, who says things that make them good people and the equivalent of the people who harmlessly and rightfully protest in Charlottesville. You know, he says that the murderers are, the murdering party is just some good people. And the more that sort of attitude gets out, the more violence is going to come down. You can fight back against that by supporting your community radio station, which is on 24 hours a day. And you better believe every twang from a string and every vowel from our voices is against Nazism and against fascism. That's what we do in part. 877-500-5266. I'm asking for you to take that attitude of defiance and to put your money where your mouth is. As Lisa was saying earlier, put your walk where your squawk is and call us. 877-500-5266. 877-500-5266. It has to be you. It has to be right now. Because what's going to happen if you don't call? You know you'll procrastinate, won't you? You have access to your phone right now. Whip it out of your pocket or dial it there on the wall. Whatever it takes. 877-500-5266. The last four numbers spell KABU. 877-500-5266.
And Teresa, for those folks who are near a computer and maybe not near their phone, they can certainly go online and go to kboo.fm and click on that donate button to become a member and continue to support shows like Positively Revolting and all of the public affairs and news programming that is produced here at KBOO. I think that many of the folks out there don't understand that KBOO produces over 7,500 hours a year of original, locally produced programming. A huge amount of it is public affairs, news, and so on. And the support of the community is what allows KBOO to, what has allowed KBOO to perform for 50 years and hopefully perform for another 50 years. So this is a good opportunity. Pick up that phone and give us a call at 877-500-5266. Again, 877-500-5266. Or go online and show your support for KBOO, your community radio station. And if you become a new member today or you increase your monthly donation today, your contribution will be matched up to a total of $3,000. Think about how much of the public affairs programming that could help fund, how many of our syndicated shows that could help fund if you take this opportunity and join us now.
So yeah, that $10 a month magically transforms to $240 a year, and we need that. And if you don't, it goes away. So it's a challenge. So we need you to call right now.
So,
Go ahead.
No. I certainly don't want to trample you there, Teresa, but I was just going to repeat, probably reiterate what you're saying. This is your opportunity. This is the time to show your support. We know we have over 80,000 listeners a week here at KBOO. That's a pretty significant audience, and less than 10% of them are members. So this is your chance. You've probably thought about becoming a member and you just don't get around to it. You don't pick up that phone at the right time and give a call. Well, now's the right time. So please call us at 877-500-5266 and show your support for your community radio station, or go online to kboo.fm and click on that donate button.
Yeah, give us a thrill. Make the phone ring right now and decide that you're going to get a copy of Against the Fascist Creep and a copy of Fascism Today and become a member, and or up your pledge to that $120 a year level, $10 a month. This is a great time to do it. We have the phone lines open. We're ready for you. We want to make that happen. The News and Public Affairs Day $3,000 match will double your money, and you will be entered into the prize drawing, and you can do all that just by taking that step, you know, that one little step. It is a little bit of a sacrifice, a little bit of your money, but you can do that because you understand it's important. 877-500-5266 right now.
Thanks so much, Teresa. Teresa, how many dollars are we looking to raise before 9 o'clock? Again, remind our dear listeners.
$1,000 American.
And so far we have raised...
Looks like 135.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So this is time, my good friends, dear listeners. This is, you know, Positively Revolting is here for 24 years decrying what needs to be ended in this world today, while encouraging us to create a new world together that is based in egalitarianism, in sustainability, in love, in beauty, in art, in connecting. And so please connect right now and support the mission of Positively Revolting. Support KBOO Community Radio. Support your community by supporting People's Media. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. Please do join us this morning. Join KBOO or renew your membership right now. And I know that we have a person on hold. Steve is on hold. Steve, are you still there? Good morning, Steve.
Hey, I'm just wanting to ask about free speech, and I'm alarmed by my liberal brethren's resistance to, you know, speakers that make them uncomfortable. And
okay,
you know, if the First Amendment doesn't allow hate speech and speech that makes us uncomfortable,
right,
you know, who is going to censor this? Who, you know, it's a slippery slope. We start saying you can't say this. And again, I'm a longtime KBOO supporter and ACLU supporter, and you know, I really appreciate ACLU's stand on this. They have a good article or essay, Free Speech on Campus, on their website.
Mm-hmm.
But I've heard Teresa say that no, you know, people who use hate speech don't have that right or should be attacked. And
right,
who's responsible for who do we allow?
Who makes that call? Thanks, Steve, for your question. And let's go ahead and get to it. I know that Teresa certainly has said that. I know I have certainly said that. And I think, again, there's a lot of gradation when we're talking about speech, free speech, when we're talking about hate speech, when we're talking about fascism. I think that, again, there's a lot of this is in definitions. A lot of this is actually looking at it from a marginalized perspective. As Teresa and I are both in marginalized communities, when somebody's free speech is encouraging other people to, you know, do you harm, mm-hmm, that speech doesn't look so benign, okay? And so I'm going to go ahead and throw this over to Shane. Shane, the free speech question. I mean, we have free speech, right? Shouldn't everyone be allowed to say anything they want to all the time, anywhere?
People certainly assume they do.
Right.
So I think what's important is to bring up is that the issue, the question of free speech is a question of state intervention in speech. That's where the concept of free speech comes from, either prior restraint or prosecuting someone. And I don't know any anti-fascist organizer that's arguing for state intervention on speech. It's just not a part of that conversation. It's not something people argue for outside of, like, you know, maybe some liberal NGOs that do go down that route. And so it's not really a matter of free speech. It's a matter of community acceptance of organizing. So let's say Richard Spencer wants a public forum, a lot of times publicly funded forums. Does he have access to that? Does the community accept that? And those public forums aren't just him speaking, but that's him recruiting and organizing. So are people just kind of not counter-organize? And there's this kind of this perception that a free speech argument means this universal platform. I can get anything at any time. But that's just demonstrably untrue. There's no history of that. I can't walk into the New York Times and demand an op-ed. It doesn't work like that, exactly. No matter how much we would like it to. And so this argument that somehow it's shutting down free speech, you know, organizers don't have the ability to shut down free speech. They're not state actors. And so for this continued kind of return to it, I think speaks a lot more to a kind of privileged position about what speech is and who should be able to have speech and what it means to be told that your speech isn't particularly welcome or to not be accepted or to be disagreed with. And free speech doesn't mean that you get this blanket without any opposition or anyone telling you no.
There's also this idea that, like, words are separate from bodies and people, right? That I think that liberalism sort of makes us think in a way that, like, constitution, free speech, these are universal values, and words and arguments exist in a neutral space that's totally divorced from physical action. But in fact, what you find is this thing called scripted violence, that you have people going on stage, you know, showing pictures of marginalized people in their communities and effectively saying, you know, these are the people who need to be targeted. So that's not like staking a claim and trying to defend it logically. That's like, you know, rousing up kind of a lynch mob.
And again, I think that, you know, that is... certainly, it's in agreement with my thoughts. Even as you were beginning to answer, Teresa runs in a note because she just needs to express herself. And I would absolutely agree with this. Speech is intimidation when it comes from an active terror group. And that is, to me, that's the thing that underpins it. Because when you have people who are actually advocating violence, who are advocating social policies that stratify, that are ultranationalist, that are white supremacist, that leave out huge groups of people, that demonize the LGBTQ community, that demonize immigrants, that demonize, you know, and exploit that xenophobia, that is to say, yeah, sure, all speech is equal, go right ahead, is fundamentally dangerous. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing I really want to impress on any listener to this show that says, but come on, we just need to disagree with each other and, you know, hug it out, talk it out. Well, just, you know, speech, it's ideas. It's all the marketplace of ideas. Some things don't actually belong on the shelf of the marketplace of ideas. Mm-hmm. And I would say that when it comes to advocating that kind of stratification and that kind of harm, I, as a community member, do not accept that and do not want to, you know, allow that plant to flourish in the garden, right? We take that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's a question here. Are we playing for keeps? You know, we're talking about people who historically enact mass genocide, who at times will just tell you point blank that's what they want to do. And if we lose, we die. I don't know anyone that wants to stand down on something like that over abstractions, because this has real world consequences, real world safety, real world violence. And so, I mean, when people are kind of arguing over semantics and stuff like that, I find it really troubling because it ignores the actual harm that's taking place.
Thank you. That is exactly it. And so for that, let's go ahead, and I know we don't have that much time left. I really want to get into the question that has come up over and over again in left communities here and across the nation, and that is, well, gee, anti-fascists, they're so loud, they're so vocal, they're so violent. They say people can't say these things. They confront. They do these. how can you tell the difference between Antifa and fascists? Wait, aren't they both as bad as the other? What do you say?
I mean, they're both as bad as the other if your objection to fascism is that it's too rowdy. The reality is that one group wants to create a white ethnostate and ethnically cleanse everybody else, and the other group wants to stop them. I know it's really fun wordsmithing from the right online to try and make that allegation and to try and discredit whole movements by using kind of broad swath generalizations about anti-fascists or using misappropriated quotes about fascism or bad definitions. But there's no basis to that whatsoever. And the reality is that social movements are messy, they are loud, they take lots of people, and they get uncomfortable. And that's true through the entire history of social movements.
Mm-hmm. There's also an argument, right, that anti-fascism and fascism engaging in violence in the streets is a challenge against the government's legitimate monopoly on violence, right? And that has led certain liberal commentators to say, well, this is all bad. This is a bad paradigm. And we should retreat to the government, basically. And the problem there is that it fails to negotiate or understand the relationships between fascists and the state, mm-hmm. and the police in particular, where in a lot of demonstrations of anti-fascists against fascists, you find the police facing the Antifas, cracking down on them, tear gassing them, yeah. pepper spraying them, brutalizing them, arresting them, and letting the fascists just kind of walk away, just do whatever they need to do. That's not a challenge against the state's monopoly of power. That's the state violently suppressing opposition to fascism.
Mm-hmm. And again, what is that about? Why do we think that happened? I mean, we saw that clearly last June as the police protected white supremacists and kettled anti-white supremacist community response members. Why does the state's authority seem to side with fascists?
Well, there's long answer and there's a short answer.
And we have time for the short answer. I know.
I'm taking all these hard questions and throwing them over to Shane. But no, I mean the excuse is, right, that you have to create a space for public demonstrations. But the violence enacted against anti-fascists might suggest otherwise, as recently seen at the latest National Socialist mm-hmm. Movement rally. I don't know, Shane might want to field that one about mm-hmm. the police presence there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the police presence is always at a force that creates instability to their authority. And frankly, a large mass of working class people opposing bigotry, it doesn't just stop at Nazis. It goes much deeper than that. They don't respect the authority of the police necessarily. And that's challenging. Mm-hmm. And I think it reminds us to a lot of criticisms of, it's not just anti-fascist, but it went at Occupy, it goes at Black Lives Matter, of like, why can't they, you know, mm-hmm. go on the sidewalk? Why can't they can be more better behaved? And I think people need to look and say, like, there is no history of social movements that behaved purely legally at all times. If you can show me one social movement that was successful on using purely legal means in the history of the world, I'll change my opinion on that.
And always remembering to say please and thank you. You know, please take the boot off my neck. Thank you very much for allowing me my freedom. Yeah, it doesn't really work that way. So we only have about a minute left, and closing remarks, a minute doesn't even give anyone time to do it. But again, your books, Alexander Reed Ross, Against the Fascist Creep, Shane Burley, Fascism Today, What It Is and How to End It. Thank you so much for joining us. Any parting words for folks that are interested in anti-fascist organizing?
Keep hope alive.
Delightful.
I think get involved in something in your community. That's the first step. I think more than talking, we need to be involved with our neighbors and see what the problems are.
Right on. Thank you very much, both of you, for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. My pleasure. And I'd like to have you on again when we have a little more time, because, again, we just scratched the surface. And unfortunately, I don't think this is a topic going away anytime soon. So thank you both.
Thank you.
K
KBOO Portland. All right, 5 minutes and counting down, so you've got to get in now if you want to get these two books, Fascism Today by Shane Burley and Against the Fascist Creep by Alexander Reed Ross. We still have some copies available, so if you're on it and you get into your phone right now and call us, you can get your hands on it, 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. Shall I do it again so you can scratch it on your arm? 877-500-5266. We want you to call right now. Give us a thrill. Get the books. That'll cost you $10 a month. And that's entirely voluntary, of course, on your part. So you have to be the sort of person who understands why it's so important to be a contributing member, like 10% of our audience is. That 10% who understand that they'll be responsible for the other 90% of the listeners. This is News and Public Affairs Day, so everyone calling in will be part of the $3,000 match. So if you decide to get these books and spend that $10 a month, well, it'll be doubled, and so it'll come out to an effective $240 a year for us. But if you don't call, we won't get any of that because it's a challenge. It's intended to, it's intended as an incentive for you to call in. When you become a new member of KBOO or when you increase your monthly donation, your contribution will be matched dollar for dollar up to $3,000 thanks to amazing KBOO members who donated towards this matching fund to encourage them to encourage you to join them. Make history, support KBOO, and that's not all. On top of the books, on top of the match, we have a prize drawing. Everyone who calls in will be entered to win a prize. Today's drawing is for two buddy passes to the Waterfront Blues Festival. The Waterfront Blues Festival coming up this July. Call 877-500-5266 right now, 877-500-5266 to be entered for a chance to win. Go to kboo.fm for rules and details and all the prizes. You know, I love KBOO, and part of the reason I love KBOO is because we can have these discussions about how to deal with fascism. And indeed, as Ani was saying, I put in a note because I was saying that when you have a fascist group, a known terrorist lynching horror group like the Klan or the Nazis pop up, they are part of an underground, at times and other times above ground, history of terrorizing people of color, GLBTQ women, and that is what they do. They're about intimidation. They're about making people afraid. So when they pop up and say they want free speech, it doesn't matter what they say. They could say the sky is blue, and what that means is we're going to get you. And you can't be safe as GLBTQ, as a person of color. And that's why I say nuts to them and do whatever it takes to defend yourself. And that kind of discussion can only be had on KBOO because it's just not polite. It's people just won't go there on other radio stations. 877-500-5266, 877-500-KBOO, 877-500-5266. As I was saying, we have both of the books. Let me give you a bit more details.
I can tell you, man, those books are awesome. And Alexander Reed Ross's Against Fascist Creep is just a very high-level scholarly work that you can sort of trace fascism, how it's grown, how it operates, and how it is actively co-opting left movements to make inroads. So please do give us a call right now, 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. We have only about a minute and a half left to raise about $800.
It can be done.
And we can do it, but it takes you right now making that decision to make a difference. 877-500-5266. We are at the top of our News and Public Affairs Day. It's a semi-annual special KBOO does to really focus on topics of today, how we are being affected, and how we work together to make the world a better place. Right now, your action of becoming a member of KBOO or renewing your membership is a great and simple way to make the world a better place, because you're amplifying voices and messages, and that is what we need right now. We need to spread the word about current events. We need to spread the word about how to get involved. We need to spread the word about how to actually rebuild our societies, our communities, how we work together, how we build bridges. You are a part of that. You build bridges and you make history when you join KABU. Please give us a call right now, 877-500-5266. It is your support that keeps us connected to the grassroots. It is your support that makes a difference. Call us. Make a difference right now. 877-500-5266. We have one line open. My friends, please, let's fill it up. Let's go over the top. Your money is doubled. And with your $120 contribution, you can avail yourself of these two fabulous books, really defining fascism, laying it plain for you, and really making the case to get involved in the anti-fascist movement. 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm.
KABU Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Lady Sings the Blues, a tribute to Billie Holiday on Saturday, April 28th at 8 p.m. at the Alberta Rose Theater in Portland. The 12th annual Billie Holiday Tribute Night brings together musicians of many genres to pay tribute to one of the greatest jazz singers and songwriters of our time. The event features Megan Spear, Sarah Jackson Holman, Led to See, Mary Flower, Naomi LaViolette, Oracle, Brownish Black, and many more. Again, that's Lady Sings the Blues, a tribute to Billie Holiday on Saturday, April 28th at 8 p.m. at the Alberta Rose Theater, 3000 Northeast Alberta Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KABU would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who have donated food for our volunteers today. Lunch was provided by Noah Halal, a Mediterranean cuisine food cart at the corner of Southwest 10th and Washington Avenue in Portland. Noah Halal serves Greek and Middle Eastern food and are open 7 days a week, 11 a.m. to 4 a.m. Dinner was provided by Holy Moly, a food cart that serves Mexican mole located 1419 Southeast 33rd Avenue in Portland on Southeast 33rd and Hawthorne down the alleyway. For more information on how you can support KABU, call 877-500-5266 right now.
This News and Public Affairs Day is dedicated to the memory of Dave Mazza, a longtime KABU volunteer who passed away this week. Thanks for everything, Dave.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K2A2BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, K2